This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Here's Hoyer bootleg rollout. Rolling to the middle. Stepping up. He's got Gabriel wide open. He's got it. First and goal.
Cleveland native, former Browns quarterback and Super Bowl champion Brian Hoyer on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose, click, cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com.
It's Hoyer time, and he joins us right now. He made some waves last week there. How much flack did you actually read about your Joe Milton opinion last week there, Brian?
Yeah, there was, you know what, I was kind of shocked. There was just as many people who didn't like it. There was just as many people who did like it. So it seems to me like kind of goes with what we've been talking about. This draft class of quarterbacks is really not the highest rank we've seen in the past year. So some people liked the idea. Some people thought I was drinking at 9 a.m. in the morning, which I definitely wasn't. So
drinking at 9 a.m. sounds like a good time. Brian, well, let me ask you this, though. What do you say to the people then who try to say, well, he's just trying to create a market for Joe Milton, courtesy of the Patriots? What did you say to those folks?
Yeah, I don't work for the Patriots anymore, so I'm not trying to create any market for him.
Brian, that's what somebody would say who's trying to throw people off the scent, too.
Yeah, that's not my responsibility. It's their own responsibility to go out and do that. I think the reason that this is even being talked about is obviously they drafted him in the same draft as Drake May. He doesn't have a long-term future here because Drake May is the future. So I'm not trying to create a market. I did read since then we last talked, it seemed like Dallas had put some interest into potentially trading for Joe Milton, which would be an intriguing backup to Dak Prescott. And actually, the more I thought about it after I got off the phone with you guys, the Patriots are hoping that the Browns do take a quarterback. That way they have the pick of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter when it comes to number four. So maybe if the Browns do take Abdul Carter, it becomes even a more viable option because then they're hoping that the Giants take Shador. And I heard you guys talking this morning. It sounds like Deion's really pushing Shador towards New York. So it's going to be an interesting first three picks when it comes down to how these actually play out. It really seems like Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick. It seemed like Tennessee sent their whole contingency down to his pro day. I mean, they had their internal social media team there, their film crew, all of that stuff. So it sure seems like they don't care that they're kind of foreshadowing that that's who they're going to take. They like the guy, and they're going to take him. And now it seems to me, the more I see, and look, we can all sit here and speculate, and it really doesn't mean anything, but more mock drafts now coming out with the Browns taking Abdul Carter second overall, which you could read the tea leaves. Some of these people are well-informed. I think some people are just going off of speculation, but it does seem to be a big shift away from the Browns taking a quarterback at number two.
I want to ask you about another quarterback coming up here in a bit, but I have to go to this because Lima brought up that he had concerns with it. I'm trying to be fair, but damn it, the more I think about it, the more like, yeah, you know, you might not get a whack at Cam Ward. I understand that, but maybe he should have been there. Maybe Andrew Berry should have been at Cam Ward's pro day, even though I don't think he's going to be able to get him. Do you believe that Andrew Berry should have been at Cam Ward's pro day yesterday?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think, honestly, I heard you guys talking about this. I had teammates throughout my career who they would say, man, I never thought I'd get drafted by this team. And sometimes those teams don't do those things because they don't want to put out the scent that they're interested. Not that this would be the case. Obviously, everyone knows the Browns are interested in the quarterback. But I know they had him in for a 30 visit. But it also could be one of those things that they just know if somehow, some way, Tennessee doesn't take Cam Ward, they know they're going to take him with number two pick. There's no more due diligence that needs to be made. They know that if they're drafting a quarterback with that second pick, it's only Cam Ward. And really, I mean, at this point, they're probably saying Tennessee's going to draft him. And if they don't, we know we're going to take him. There's nothing more we need to go see live and in person.
Yeah, I tried to make the case, Brian, that, you know, a smart front office is going to take as much information into account as they possibly can. They're also going to talk to as many people that go to these things, not to mention that I brought up Sam Darnold and Geno Smith and how quarterbacks end up maybe getting tossed away with their first team, and then they could be available down the road, and maybe you'd harken back to a conversation or to something you saw or something you might have heard at something way back when that could also, you know, when you least expect it, become a factor. I would imagine you'd want to go to everything that you possibly could.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I know of coaches and teams that they would literally bring people in for their 30 visit knowing that they might not have a chance of getting them, but having a better understanding of who the person is, who the player is, kind of behind the scenes. Not so much, I think at this point, I mean, other than, I guess, the receiver, what was his name, Xavier, down in Miami, ran like a 4.8. I mean, those are one of those shock things that are going to really affect someone's status. But at this point, I don't want to say, you know, metaphorically, the hay's in the barn when it comes to, like, the physical attributes, especially these quarterbacks. These teams, they've been scouting these guys for the past 2 years. They've seen them do all the things that they could possibly do. But those 30 visits are pretty interesting because you know that realistically you might only be able to draft a few of those guys. But I do know of some teams who would bring people in knowing that most likely they weren't going to have a chance in them, but they're trying to gather as much information. That way when they hit free agency 4 or 5 years down the road, they have a good understanding of who the person is. So you're right. I mean, look, for all we know, it's like a smokescreen. No, we know that Cam Ward's not going to be there. That's the one thing you'll never understand is what's the true agenda here. Are they trying to send a message by not sending a message? And sometimes teams want to play that game, and sometimes maybe it works out for them, and sometimes it doesn't.
What was your pro day like?
My pro day was pretty fun. I had basically, for me, I was looking at getting drafted, which I didn't, but the Carolina Panthers, the Denver Broncos, I think the Washington Redskins. And so those guys sent their offensive coordinators out. They put me through a workout, and then I got to meet individually with them, each coordinator, about 15, 20 minutes before or after the pro day. And honestly, my most memorable pre-draft workout was when Bill O'Brien, who was the quarterback coach of the Patriots, came up to work me out individually. I don't know if people know this, but obviously there's the pro day, but if teams want to have you do a separate workout, they can send a coach and you can work out as many times as you want. And so he came out to work me out at Michigan State. And when I tell you, he put me through some drills and I was like, man, if this is what it takes to play quarterback in the NFL, there's no way I'm going to make it. He had me roll out all the way to the right, throw like a 25 yard run back route to the left. I mean, he put me through the whole gamut, but that was the one that I remember the most. And oddly enough, it was the team I ended up going to.
Boy, that's really interesting, Brian, because you talk about it. Now, obviously, you had a lengthy NFL career that 99% of quarterbacks that ever played the game at any level would have aspired to have the type of career you did. But then you look back and you're like, but I didn't get drafted. How do you look at it now that it's all over and you're doing different things and you still could have a career in football, whether it's media or coaching? And you look back, are you salty about that experience, the fact that you felt like you were overlooked? Or do you think maybe the teams were right at the time and you had to get better?
The way I look at it is everything happens for a reason. And had I been drafted by Carolina, guess who they would have drafted 2 years down the road? Cam Newton. I mean, who knows what my career would have been. I think for me, I went to the right place at the right time, and I got to learn from, obviously, Coach Belichick, but being in the room with Tom Brady every single day prepared me and showed me what it took to be an NFL quarterback. And I definitely improved from coming in as an undrafted guy to, by the time I got there to be playing in Cleveland, I had improved so much as a player just by learning from him, seeing how to prepare. And so it's funny to look back and you see the names of guys that were drafted ahead of you. And I mean, half of them didn't even make it to their third year. But for me, it was about going to the right place, which we've talked about before, right? If you're a quarterback coming into the draft, sometimes it's more about where you go than when you go. And I've said this, and I think all of these guys would be successful regardless of where they end up. But when you look at the top quarterbacks in our league right now, they all pretty much went to a good situation when it came to the team that they went to, whether it was Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. I mean, these guys went to, I want to call them steady organizations. I mean, the Bengals probably the worst of all of those that I just mentioned, but they went to legit teams and didn't have to be quote unquote the savior right away. And I think that's kind of the issue that a lot of the guys that have gone to the Browns, I mean, we've seen the jersey, right, with all the different names on it. I think the Browns are always looking for that savior when it comes to quarterback, and they've had guys who've turned out to be good players elsewhere. I mean, look at Baker Mayfield. You're telling me you don't wish you still had Baker playing for you right now? It's just, it's hard when you're a young quarterback, you're thrust in that position, and the team really isn't built around you to win. Sometimes going as one of those top picks isn't always as good as maybe going to the right place.
Brian Hoyer joining us here on the show. So Jameis is headed to New York to play with the Giants. Is Aaron Rodgers holding up everything right now for who the Browns might get as a veteran quarterback to start the season?
Yeah, I think there's that's that last domino that needs to fall when it comes to veteran quarterbacks, and Aaron's taking his time making that decision. But clearly, he's only got one place that is interested, that it seems like he has mutual interest in, that's Pittsburgh. And so I get it. I understand why he wanted to kind of hold out and see what Minnesota wanted to do, because I'm sure he wants to go into the best possible situation to win right away. But they've committed to J.J. McCarthy, and I think with Pittsburgh, it's a very intriguing option, because you know you're going to get him for a year, maybe two. Is this an opportunity for Pittsburgh to go out, get a veteran guy who, look, the more I watch Aaron at the end of last year, he started to get further away from that Achilles injury. I actually think he made a lot of throws that remind me of the old Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's not going to be as mobile as he used to be, but you pair him up with DK Metcalf and Pickens and Freiermuth. I mean, those are some big targets, and no one really, I mean, Aaron's still a top 5-10 thrower when it comes to throwing the football. So it's an intriguing option. I also think pairing him with Mike Tomlin is one of those fits where I think Aaron would have a lot of respect for Mike Tomlin. So it's an interesting situation. I mean, I'm sure Russell Wilson's probably hoping that Aaron would make a decision so he could figure out where he's going to land. So it is interesting, because there's these dominoes that fall when it comes to the quarterback market, and this one's just taking a little bit longer than most people are used to.
Well, Brian, that was going to be my next one. Does it end up being basically like Russell Wilson's going to end up being the quarterback for the Browns from what it looks like?
Yeah, I mean, look, if Aaron ends up going to Pittsburgh, I mean, you want to talk about writing on the wall. Like, if you're Russell Wilson, the Steelers are basically waiting forever to decide if Aaron will come there. It's basically they've told you goodbye without saying goodbye. And so for Russell, as you mentioned, Jameis, which, man, I think he's like a national treasure. I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun covering him last year when he's saying, I'm just praying that the Lord deliver me from pick sixes. I was like, man, I never thought about that, but it's an interesting way to think about it. But clearly Russell's not going to New York. Doesn't seem like Pittsburgh is wanting him back. So Cleveland is probably his best option at this point.
Brian Hoyer with us right now on the hotline. I'm trying to think about how there are so many different ideas on concepts from college to the NFL. And I see a debate all the time being waged about whether it's easier to play the position, like your rookie year at quarterback in the NFL, because you see guys that can come out and play well immediately, and then maybe they hit that wall because the rest of the league kind of figures them out. But With all that said, do you think, like, if the Browns took Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, like, those guys, despite limitations they may have, still might be able to have decent rookie years?
Well, yeah, I think the one thing, and I know I've said this before, is you have a head coach who has gotten a lot out of his quarterbacks, no matter where he's been, whether it was in Minnesota with Case Keenum, and then obviously Kirk Cousins, or even I look to when Joe Flacco came in, 2 years ago, kind of in the middle of the year, and had this great run. I think Kevin Stefanski and his staff, I know Tommy Rees, the new offensive coordinator, another guy I know really well, Chad O'Shea, like, you have some really good coaches when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, and you have decent talent. Now, you guys can confirm this for me, but I did read that it sounds like Nick Chubb could be coming back. So you bring him back and add him back to the mix. I do think that those guys, when I'm referring to those coaches, will have a good plan to be able to protect a rookie quarterback. 100%. I think so much in this league is about the coaching and the game planning you get. And I think Kevin Stefanski and his staff, I mean, I really do think the Browns in that area are lucky to have those guys, having gone through the ups and downs that they've dealt with at the quarterback position. So I do feel like Stefanski and his staff will have a good plan if it is ends up being that they draft a guy with the second pick, or even trade back in to the first round to get a Jackson Dart. I think they'll have a good understanding of how to manage that.
Brian, pretty contentious debate going on both politically and with the fans in Cleveland about the dome versus, you know, rehabbing the existing site right now for the stadium. What do you think, just as somebody who grew up in Northeast Ohio, also saw what the Crafts were able to do with Gillette, you know, down the road up in New England?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm old school. To me, the Browns belong downtown on the water. And for me, I look at that as an advantage. You know, you're playing the AFC North. You want to have that tough mentality. You want to be out in the cold, be in the elements. But from a fan's perspective, I get it. And I will say, you know, the Patriots didn't have a history of being in Boston. So having Gillette Stadium down in Foxborough, which when I came to play for the Patriots, I didn't even know where Foxborough was. I didn't know where Boston was, any of those things. So I think what they're trying to create is very similar to what the Crafts created here in Foxborough and Patriot Place. And you're going to have a lively environment that not just includes the stadium. So I see it from both perspectives, but for me, I'm old school, and I think the Browns belong in open air stadium out on the lake. And I always thought, you know, football weather and growing up in Cleveland, that's when it snows, that's when you want to go be playing football. And to me, I don't think you want to take that advantage away. Now you got to be willing to embrace those conditions. I mean, for us, when we played here in New England, we never practiced inside. It didn't matter if it was minus 15 degrees. I've had teammates get frostbite on their fingers because Bill made us go out and practice when it was a wind chill of about minus 15. So you have to embrace those conditions. I know that maybe for the fans, that's not always as comfortable, but I think the one thing, and I don't know who said this, I heard you guys play a little audio clip today, is, you know, what fans really want is a team that wins. And I can't agree more with that. I think if the Browns became a perennial playoff team, I don't think the fans are going to care whether they're playing outside, you know, down by the lake, or playing in Brook Park. I think ultimately the best thing for the organization is to figure out a way to win football games.
Brian, we thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Brian Hoyer on the show lent us his, well, we lent our ears about what he had to say, backed up what he said about Joe Milton and the situation going on with Aaron Rodgers. Could it be Russell Wilson there, Tone?
But I thought it was interesting. Yeah, it very well could be. Players are getting frostbite. I mean, you have a union. What is going on with players? I guess Belichick is immune to when you're on a Super Bowl team and competing for Super Bowls every year.
I guess the difference.
Guys aren't really going to raise a stink because we know what happens to them. Just, I think Belichick's probably more powerful than even the NFL union.
Throw a blanket over it becomes the Patriot way. What else is there to say? So there's the Russell Wilson to get to, the Nick Chubb, which I'll probably have to get to at another point, because I'm becoming more and more hopeful that Nick Chubb comes back. And that stadium issue where, yeah, if you were winning, I think it'd just be a lot different based on the reaction of what we're seeing about people who want the Browns to stay downtown, or whether or not they want to go to Brook Park. Russell Wilson, Tone? Yeah. You thought it was a smokescreen. Looks like it could be Russell Wilson.
I thought for sure it was a smokescreen. I thought the whole point of bringing him in.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
And was to get, you know, the trade situation percolating with the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins.
I'm just not going
to
give up.
So I thought it was a sad spot to be in to begin with.
That it is a sad spot.
We're bringing Russ in to coerce you guys to give us Kirk Cousins. Oh, it's like, where's the none of the above option? But unfortunately, God, now I sound like Daryl.
We're dumpster diving. Hey, are you dumpster diving? Are we in the dumpster?
The thing
are we dumpster diving? You guys want to dumpster dive? Hey, did you know that the Browns are dumpster diving? We're dumpster diving for all these different quarterbacks. Everybody's got a dumpster dive. Go looking in the dumpster for quarterbacks because we're all dumpster diving.
It
dangerous
does
dumpster diving, Daryl Ryder.
Stink that it's kind of coming back to how we thought about this all along. We always knew this was going to be a brutal time to try to get a quarterback. And of course, what did the Browns do? They finished second. They have the second pick in the draft. And the free agency situation is bleak. Matt Stafford was your best shot. And did you ever really have a shot at Matt Stafford? We had a no-trade clause. No.
Well, you better just put out that dumpster fire before you go dumpster diving. You're going to burn yourself while you're dumpster diving. Yeah, the only one that was that could provide any sunny disposition of it was going to be Matt Stafford. That's it.
Well, and then I asked earlier in the show, just on a lark, what about J.J. McCarthy? Does that inspire hope for some fans? I bet some fans could say, especially Michigan fans, who we work for one, that could say, hey, last time we saw him, he was looking dynamic in the preseason.
Yeah, but why
preseason
would they trade him? There's no.
Well, just because he's coming off an injury and they won a boatload of games.
Well, if they're willing to trade the guy, well, who do they have other than him? Sam Darnold's gone, as you mentioned. Yep. Sam Darnold's gone, that's it. Like the whole stuff about Aaron Rodgers, that doesn't make any damn sense to me. Now they're going to bring in Ryan Tannehill, probably has some insurance, jeez, it looks like, over the last 24 hours. So, okay, so they got some insurance with him. Like, it's going to be J.J. McCarthy's team. And if they were willing to trade you, again, you have to look about the reasons why they're willing to trade you. It's not just about going out and getting the guy. So many of us just think about this one side.
Yep.
And I'm not in the business just giving up. Like, hey, man, you guys made this mistake. I didn't want to trade for the guy down there in Houston. Okay, you did. But that doesn't mean I want to double down on all these bad things and go out and get Kirk Cousins and give up a bunch for Kirk Cousins and have to pay the guy. I don't want to have to give up on all these different guys here. So that's their decision that they have left to make, and this is their rut that they have to crawl out of. That's why in so many ways I've really thought this entire time, and I'm being shaken about it until recently. The quarterback's there. It smacks you in the face. What is it that we don't know that's turned them away from Shador Sanders? Where over the last month, it hasn't been a one moment, because if it were one moment, we'd all know what it is. But over the last month, we've all gotten away from them taking Shador Sanders to going to Abdul Carter. He's the betting favorite now. A team that needs a QB. Teams that needs him. Didn't go get him. So what did he say to turn everybody off at the combine? What, except for the Browns, apparently, according to the thing, even though they don't want to trade him at number 2 when they need a quarterback, for crying out loud. So what did he say? So that to me, if he's falling as far as what everybody says, and the Browns were the team that said that they liked what he said at the combine, are we trying to create a market then? Okay, so we're trying to create a market. So if you're trying to create a market, it doesn't seem to be working. So what on earth could he have said? What on earth do these teams know about Shador Sanders that go, no, he's a developmental guy? Or do they just think, you know what, because he's a developmental guy and he might be a second-round choice to a lot of people out there, to some teams out there, because all it takes is two teams to say multiple NFL teams think that he's a second-round pick. If he's a second-round guy, maybe everything that goes with him, which some of that is not his fault. He can't help who his parents are. He can't help who his father is. Do they just think, you know what, it's not worth it? We're going to take a guy who's going to be quieter, and we'll develop him. We'll take a Tyler Shook at 79 years old. He'll be 26. But we'll take Tyler Shook later on, and he'll be quieter. Will Howard, quieter. Jackson Dart, quieter. Even though those problems will turn real loud if they suck, but they just don't want to deal with that. Maybe that's the possibility of it. Abdul Carter. fine player, quieter.
Yeah. Who unfortunately now has all sorts of injury concerns.
Yes.
He's not a flawless prospect coming out.
Well, there's injury concerns. Some people have tried to, over the last couple of weeks, and they've tried to point out the fight in the tow truck driver thing. All right, boot a guy's car, try to take a car. People aren't going to take that very well. I wish you wouldn't have tried to do that, but I understand. I can understand some people not thinking it's such a big deal that he would do something like that. It's a bad day. Or that he smoked weed. I do not care if you smoke weed. As a pass rusher, it doesn't bother me. Spring Training Report brought to you by Mr. Hero and Quinn Legal Associates. Spring Training Report brought to you by Mr. Hero and Quinn Legal Associates. Are you ready for this? I am becoming tired, and there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing any of us can do about it. I'm getting tired of this. Yesterday, I'm going around the internet, and I'm looking for Guardian stuff. We got opening day in 2 days. Other than, I don't know when their TV deal is going to start. I have no idea when you're going to be able to find them. I assumed, because we were told, and that it was out there on MLB.com. With this, if you are a cable subscriber, it's going to be on a channel. That's what I was told. Now I don't know. Nobody knows. So somewhere in the next 48 hours, they got to get something figured out. By about what, 4 o'clock on Thursday?
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
So you're going to have to get something going there.
Yeah, and in most of these squabbles, when we're talking about the real big sports, which NFL is obviously what we would be talking about, where the most amount of people possible would lose their minds when they lose access
yes.
to their games, normally in the 11th hour, something does happen.
Something's going to happen.
But is that the case with baseball? Is that going to be the case with the Guardians? You know, we're not the Yankees.
Something's going to have to happen.
We're not the Red Sox. We're not the Dodgers. We're not the Cubs.
So will there be a Guardians TV, like on the pay thing? Or do we not know this?
I mean, the $99 thing is...
That's there.
That's done. Yes. We're just talking about cable.
This is talking... And I think what they said during that time was there was a plan to get... If you were a cable subscriber, there was a plan to get you access through your normal cable package.
Yes.
But
yes.
That would all depend... You know, there has been times... I've never personally lost the Browns, but there were times, so many times where... That, whatever channel they were on, was blacked out on, depending on your cable provider. And it would be, you know, 1 o'clock kickoff, and it'd be 12:15, and then all of a sudden, the pregame show would pop on for whatever station they were on, and that's happened probably two or three times in the last 10 years, where it was a last minute thing that you got to see football on that channel. You're right, Anthony. Is there going to be enough outcry for we're missing Guardians for?
Well, the outcry, yeah.
This is different because those were always. Hey, we don't like the price you're charging us to put it on the air, or we don't like the price you're paying us for our product. Right now, they're in a new area where the Guardians have went to producing their own content, and they're trying to find people to distribute it for them. And I mean, we're still 48 hours.
So it says
50 something hours.
The frequently asked questions. I sent this to my in-laws.
Okay.
Can I still watch the Guardians games through my satellite or cable TV provider? Yes, Guardians TV will be available. This is MLB.com. Yes, Guardians TV will be available on similar satellite and cable providers in which Guardians games have been carried in the past. Specific providers will be announced closer to opening day. Getting pretty damn close to opening day.
And if you have cable and you're paying now what people pay for cable, right. A lot of people pay north of $200 a month. You're now going to, if you don't get the Guardians, you're going to do another add-on?
If you're a cable subscriber.
When AA was here, he was a cut guy, and I yelled at him for, there's still other ways, and there are still other ways. I cut last year at the end of baseball season last year, kind of seeing this foreshadowing thing, and that was really the last thing holding me on.
This isn't what I wanted to get.
And I'm going to do, I'm doing the $100 for the year, but... I'd prefer to not to have done that.
What channel, the other frequently asked question, what channel will Guardians TV be on? The channel will change per provider, but will likely be a channel lineup around other sports programming, like MLB Network, and have call letters of CLEG, all caps.
The Clegs.
CLEG.
Yeah, of course.
Specific channels will be announced closer to opening day.
Go yeah, Clegs.
Close to opening day, here we are. So you can go to Clegg.
So it'll be like a sub-channel, probably. Like how Big Ten Network has a alternate channel where they put when they have a ton of games on a Saturday, kind of something like that.
You could always find those.
So forget True TV. So you're going to be looking for Clegg.
But it'll be around sports channels. Mm-hmm. It should be around there. All right. It shouldn't be that hard to
sports
find.
Sports channels coming back?
It should just announce it. It should be around the sports.
Like, you imagine every bar, because that's just obvious. You have it on.
Hitting the buttons. You're accidentally hitting another channel. Yes. You got Lifetime up there by accident. And everybody's getting upset.
We always joke about the individuals, especially early in the day, that are manning the actual remote control, have trouble finding. You're just, can I just take over the remote? Can I just take it over? Can I just have the remote?
Yeah.
Been in many of those fights over the years. Yes. Okay, yes. There was a point where I knew, back when I was young, man, this was after college, I knew what channel it would be on depending on your cable situation. Yes. So I knew what Fox Sports would be on 32 different places.
Well, no, it's different now because if I use the app on my in my office, it's on a different one than the boxes upstairs. So I get thrown off and I'm always around it but never on.
If you're going out to public to watch these things and you're not at a big chain restaurant type thing, if I'm at my local place where I know the guy, I'm like, hey, just give me the remote. I'm going to click it over for you.
Yeah. They don't. They never want to hand you the remote, though. That's like Excalibur's sword. I know I got to do the other Reed Spring Training Report brought to you by Mr. Hero and Legal Quinn Associate Quinn Legal Associates. Can I just take 3 minutes out to what I originally wanted to get to? It has to do with Guardians television package. I swear to God.
Nope.
And how competitive
the question
they are this year? Why last year might have been when the window was open and we didn't even realize it. A lot more people online agree with me than I thought. Because you guys did the old switcheroo. I thought you guys agreed with me about Mitch staying with his dad.
Oh,
in
no,
a hotel
I made
room.
That pretty vocal last week when you started talking about it. You just don't pay attention.
No. If you would have made it vocal, I would have remembered it. If you would have made it vocal, I would have remembered.
We were back there in that podcast studio.
Well, if I had my headphones on and I had my headphones on, I would have heard
you. If
you
had your head off your ass, then you'd be fine. But
if I was what off my ass?
If you had your head off your ass.
Well, it's in my ass. If it's
no,
on
it's
it,
not.
I
You're
can still hear
the show right now.
You've I haven't
lost
done that
again, Ken.
I don't understand where you're going with it, but either way, a lot more people agree with me then because I'm like, I'm not going to stay with my father in a hotel room, and a lot more people online. I couldn't believe that. I thought I was getting ambushed there, and I kind of did on the phones because I'm like, there's no way I'm staying with my father in a hotel room, not a chance. And they go, Ken, that's a you problem. I go, maybe it is because I will admit this as well. I don't like to stay in a hotel room with my kids. Mm-mm. No. Like when we were on our way to Disney, we stayed in a hotel in Savannah. Not a fan. No.
What was the setup?
Oh, there was like a nook almost of like the other side and a pull-out couch, and they slept on the pull-out couch because there's three of them and they're all small still relatively. And there was like kind of a bit of a partition, but I'm like, man, this just isn't good enough. I don't like this. I just don't like sleeping in the same room as my parents or my children, for that matter.
Now, we did that this weekend. I had to go to Youngstown.
Yeah.
And it was a trip that probably required an overnight stay, but I just drove back and went back again because it was going to be a multiple room situation because of, A, one of them needed to sleep and I snore too loud.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a problem. But if we're headed down to Florida in a couple weeks, and if for some reason we have to stop, we would put as many in a room as we could fit. There's eight of us, so have to be two rooms. Couldn't do one. But
yeah, maybe it's my own little peccadillo. I didn't even realize that until this morning, because everybody seemed to, on the air anyway, everybody seemed to agree with Mitch. There's one thing I'm tired of saying. I looked at the power rankings. This is what I wanted to get to originally, and then we started talking about whether or not they are even going to be carried on TV.
We need music.
Is this your power ranking or someone else's?
No, this is someone else's power rankings. No, they did a CBS Sports MLB power rankings to start the year. The Guardians are fine. It's somebody else's power
thank
rankings.
You. Thank they're, you.
Well, they're not in the top three. We only do three for power rankings. It's their power rankings. CBS Sports' power rankings. Do you do the music for 15th?
No, but we do.
Okay. We do it for 12, 13, 14, 15.
That's right, and then it stops.
So here's 15. The Guardians are 15th. They're right behind the Royals at 14. And the reason they put is, in looking at the four AL Central contenders, the Guardians might look like the weakest on paper. So they're one of the four contenders, even though they're 15th. written here by the people, I think it's Mike Exisa, I think it would be foolish to count them out, though. Remember on The Office when Dwight said whenever he's going to do something, he asked himself, would an idiot do that? And if an idiot would, he doesn't do that thing. Yeah, picking the Guardians to finish fourth in the AL Central would be that thing. It's all every year, it's like, well, everybody counts us out. And you can never count out the Guardians. It's never like this, that, and the other reason. Not since the early 2000 and early and 90s Indians has it ever been this, that, and the other reason is why the Guardians are this type of team. It's always like, hey, you can't count us out because we're a well-run franchise. And I start to think about this. Last year, Minnesota took it on the chin with their TV deal. This year, we're taking it on the chin with our TV deal. Was last year kind of the year that you could really cash in on something like that, or to make it as good as you could, because you have a new manager. Not many people know him. He's younger. You don't trust him as much as you did Terry Francona. It was a really nice year. It really made you trust Stephen Vogt. Now, like, okay, now this is the year where we have to roll up our sleeves and really tighten our belts and get going here. I hate to keep talking about clothes, but maybe this is it.
I mean, I thought we would be bad last year. I couldn't believe.
I did not.
Yeah, I thought that just the drop-off would be substantial after Tito, and boy, was I wrong, and it was awesome that I was wrong, because it ended up being an incredible ride. And it's still salty over the way things ended, but the fact that they went on that run, and you know, obviously this year, different team now, because Josh Naylor is gone. They just dealt Tyler Freeman.
Oh, well, we got Carlos Santana.
We did get Carlos Santana.
We got Nolan Jones back.
Have two of them.
Yeah.
Welcome home.
Yes.
I think you guys are focusing more on the Guardians and what they do and not as much on the division and how bad, you know.
Well, the division,
we got three teams in.
Yeah.
But still, the division overall is not great, and that's why they're always going to compete until they truly do blow the thing up.
Yes.
Which I don't know under this front office they'll ever, or this ownership group, they'll ever truly blow it up.
No. Well, I don't think they can.
There's not much to blow up.
Yeah. Well, I also don't think
you
can.
Blow up a tent.
I don't think you can afford the hit of the box office. I don't think you ever want to do something like that. So you still want to at least give people a reason to come out, because I can't. If you're going to a Guardians game, and Owen goes to a lot of Guardians game, I think the room, Lima, you will eventually announce to him. Yeah. I can't say they don't put on a good product as a reason to not go to a game. And they can always use that. And so until you do that, I don't think I can necessarily. I can't tell them that they should be tanking anything they shouldn't. And I don't think they'll ever be that type of team that would be that way. Because I don't think it works the same way it does in the NBA and the NFL. There's still too much you don't know because you have to go through the farm system. So Travis Bezzano could be the next great middle infielder for the Cleveland Guardians, or he could just be an also-ran. And he was taken number one overall. It takes a little bit more. I think if you go that way, you become the Pirates before you know it, and then you're in the desert for 25 years.
Never want to be them.
No.